Hello and welcome to the PharmaForum podcast. I'm your host, Jonah Comstock. Clinical trials are changing right now in many ways, but one way in which they struggle to keep up with changing technology is data management, which is necessary not only to run efficient trials, but also to take advantage of emerging tech trends like AI, all while keeping patient data safe and secure. My guest today is Ido Paleg, CEO of Yonalink, a company that operates in this space, and we're going to talk a little bit about clinical trials and data. Welcome to the show, Ido.
Hi. Thank you for having me, Jonah.
So tell me a little bit about yourself and about Yonalink. I know this is one of those companies that was sort of founded to solve a problem, and I'd love to hear a little bit about kind of what that problem was and how you encountered it.
Yeah, we're saying it was founded to solve the highest problems that we have in the clinical trials. But maybe first a few things about myself. So I'm Ido Paleg. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Yonalink. You know, all my life is split between Canada and Israel. So I was born in Canada. My family moved to Israel. I moved back to Canada. And I think this is also my career. So because I have a master's degree in life science from the Hebrew University. Then I started to do my PhD. And after 1 year and a half, I said, okay, there is no way I'm going to stay next to the bench. I'm going to switch. I'm going to stop my PhD and to switch into an MBA. So I said the operations is really my passion, to think how we can execute such things. So then I started to work in the clinical trial industry. But at the beginning, I didn't know anything about the pharma and what is even clinical trials, because you don't learn it in university. You're learning biology, life science. But when I started to work in a company called Gamida Cell as a research assistant, then I saw the people in the next room that what they did, it's clinical trial. So I started to ask him, what do you do in a clinical trial? And since the moment I understood what is clinical trial, I was really engaged into it. I really love it. I think my kids call me like a clinical trial geek. But I think this is great. I'm very proud about it that I'm a clinical trial geek.
So what are kind of some of the problems with how clinical trials manage their data now?
So there are many problems, but I think the main problem is that we ask ourselves again and again in clinical trial is how do we collect clinical trial data? Because when we have a study, and maybe we need to say what is clinical trial. So after a pharma or medical device company, biotech company, after they completed the preclinical studies, meaning the in the lab, in vitro or in vivo, now it's a time to test the drug on a real patient. And when you need to test the drug on a real patient, you need to have a lot of different consideration. And usually it's done at the medical center. All the data from the patient is saved in the EHR, in the electronic health record, the EHR. Now you need to transfer the data from the EHR to the clinical trial database. Well, how do you do that? Because there is no connectivity between the EHR and the database. We call the database an EDC, electronic data capture. So you can go to any one of the medical centers in the United States or around the world. You will find dedicated people. Sometimes they call them study coordinators, sometimes it's a clinical research coordinators. Basically, they sit with two screens and manually copy all the data from one screen to another. Think about a study, phase 3 study, according to the Taft last publication, in an average oncology phase 3 study, we collect more than 3.6 million data points. The majority of these data points have been collected, have been captured in the EDC manually. So this is why MSK, Memorial Sloan Kettering, has more than 600 employees dedicated to copy data from one screen to another, which is insane. Guys, we are in 2024. People copying data from one screen to another. So right now, this is the highest problem in the data management of clinical trials.
How did we get there? Is it related to like HIPAA and worries about connecting systems too much? Or is it a technical problem? I mean, it's just crazy to think that this couldn't have been solved by now.
So I think it's when you have such a big problem, and this is the last market that we still copy data from one screen to another. First of all, you know, you can know each one of the medical, each one of the president. It's in the United States. It's easier to know what are the financial status than what is their medical status, because our medical record, it's the highest and most confidential data that we need to protect, more than our financial data. So yes, there were, for many years, there was a very big problem how we can do it in a safe way. But there was also in the market, because for the market to move for the traditional manual work into the data streaming, it was very tough because people said we want zero risk when we are handling data. Zero. And it's very hard to bring innovation when you want zero risks.
Just to kind of touch, I mean, the downsides here seem obvious. You mentioned the size of the workforce that's needed to support this. But also, I imagine that these transcriptions from one screen to another are not error-free, right?
It's even more than that. First of all, you're totally right, because the time that it takes from the moment the data is in the EHR until it's captured and verified in the EDC is between 6 to 8 weeks. Think about it. It's 2024. This is the time that it takes to get the data from the medical center. But more than that, we know that even after we provide the data to the FDA, to the EMA, to the Japanese authorities, we still have mistakes. Why? No one would accept mistakes in the financial world. Why should we accept that there is a mistakes in the medical world? It's there is no reason for that.
So tell me a little bit about now we've set the stage. Tell me about the company. How do you guys go about solving this problem? And especially, you know, thinking about eventually solving it at scale.
So when I started to work on that, it was when I lived in Toronto in 2017, and we said, okay, it doesn't make sense. We need to find a way to stream data. So we said a few things. First of all, we need to find a way to solve it. You know, what I love in clinical trial, this is a multi-center, multinational business. What I'm saying is when you do clinical trial, you don't do it just in the United States. You don't do it just in Spain or in a specific country, not just in Europe. You always try to make one study that will be provided the ability to submit it to any regulatory agency in the world. So when we started to think about it, we said we have three assumptions. First assumption, we need to be able to integrate with any EHR in the world. Secondly, we need to be able to work independently and not to be in the hand of any other player in the industry that may say, yes, this is a big problem, but let's wait with solving it. So we had to develop end-to-end solution, and we call to this domain EHR to EDC. From the EHR to the EDC, the clinical trial database, and we can provide end-to-end standalone solution. And this is when we started. And in the United States, I just want to say one more thing. In the United States, there was a lot of progress in the way the EHR had been structured with the FHIR standard and with the 21st Century Cures Act by the Obama administration. So I think the combination between a lot of progress in the tech side and a lot of progress in the regulation made this opportunity, this right timing in the history, that we can also stream clinical trial data.
I mean, you talked about the risk and you know, people wanting the risk to be zero or close to zero. How does that affect your ability to kind of offer a solution here? I mean, do you really have to manage the risk to that level?
That if you are the patient, if you are the participant of a clinical trial, it's you can control everything. It's in your hands. You can decide if you want to stream your data. You can decide if you want to stop to stream the data. Is everything is around the participant of the clinical trial. And again, this is the way. With this decision about that, everything is around the clinical trial participant, everything is around the patient, we started to develop the solution. And I think, by the way, it's very unique in the United States. It's a little bit different solution in Europe, but in the United States, it's everything is around the patient and it's super secure.
What, I mean, and we sort of touched on this a little bit, but spin out for me kind of what it looks like when this is in place. What are the advantages to getting rid of that kind of obstruction to getting data from one place to another?
So it's almost two different questions. What are the structure and what are the advantages? So let's start with the structure. Usually when a patient comes to a clinic, when a patient comes to the clinics and he has been offered to participate in a clinical trial, first thing that you need to do is to sign that you are willing to participate in a clinical trial. This is what we call to sign on informed consent. Only after, and in Neuralink case, only after the patient said, I'm willing to participate in the clinical trial and to receive the investigational product, then the site offer them, maybe are you willing to also to stream your data electronically instead that we need to type the data manually into the EDC. After the patient said twice, yes, I'm willing to participate in the trial and I'm willing to streaming the data, this is when the patient gets a link and the patient connects the EHR to your link and the data start to flow. At this point, usually someone decides, a study coordinator or the clinical trial coordinator, need to sit with the source screen and copy the data. In Neuralink case, they don't need to copy the data. The patient itself already connected the EHR into Neuralink system. The data flows. So in order to data flow, three things need to happen. First of all, the patient must agree to do that. Secondly, the study coordinator or someone at the site must say, I want to transfer this patient data. And the third thing is I want to transfer the patient data on a specific date according to the study protocol. And there must be obviously like a target field in the database. Only after all these things have been addressed as yes, the patient agreed to participate in the clinical trial, the patient agreed to stream the data, the study coordinator said, this is the right date, and there is a targeted field in the other side, only then the data will be streamed.
And then once that's in place, what are the advantages? Is it mainly kind of efficiency and accuracy like we talked about, or are there other things you can do now that that data sharing is so kind of seamless?
So this is a revolution. Because first of all, think about the people at the site. Usually you need to hire a very trained people that knows how to read an EHR, electronic health record, and to, but at the end of the day, what they do, they copy data from one screen to another most of the day. So first of all, and as I said, in MSK, in Memorial Sloan Kettering, Catering, we have more than 600 employees copying data from one screen to another. And the turnover of these employees are very high because no one wants to do that. So first of all, the huge impact is on the study coordinator or data coordinator at the site. But more than that, there is a huge impact for the sponsor. And I want to tell you a story. Many years ago, you know, 12 years ago, I've been a head of the clinical operation in a company that was based in Jerusalem, Israel. And we had a clinical trial that was conducted in Duke University. Very, very complex trial. It was expanded stem cells derived from cord blood that was cryopreserved, shipped from Israel to JFK, from JFK to Raleigh, from Raleigh with the courier to Duke, to Durham, and then it was defreezed and transplanted in a patient. Now, the chief medical officer sitting in the office next to my office and asking me all the time, what is happening with the patient that received our cells? What are the status of the patient? And it was with a kid. It was a small kid, 12 years old. And we knew that in 2 weeks, we have a second transplantation in Minnesota. Now, I chased after the site for 2 weeks to tell me, did we have a successful cells transplantation? Now, think about the opposite. The EHR was connected to my EDC. The data was streamed all the time. I'm getting all the data all the time on a live, not almost live, but at least once a day. It impacts not just what's happening at the site. It's impacting also what is happening at the sponsor side, at the pharma, at the biotech companies, at the medical device. We can find and we can impact this patient's safety quickly. We don't need to wait 6 weeks to get the data. We can get protocol deviation, safety concerns, everything in real time. And this is dramatic impact on what is happening in a clinical trial.
Yeah, definitely. So that starts to get into some of the same conversations we have around real world evidence, right? And the advantages of that kind of data collection.
Yes, at the end of the day, we want to increase the patient safety and to increase the product efficacy. And the only way to do that is we need to get data in real time. The real-time evidence provides us to look about the data in a big scale. The EHR to EDC provide us the ability to catch safety events and efficacy events in real time.
How many folks sort of are you working with at this point? Are there other companies that do what you do? How far are we towards the end of sort of making this the norm rather than this other kind of system we were talking about that seems so inefficient?
Well, Jonah, this is the biggest question, and this is a very hard question to answer. So Unonic right now have dozens of projects like that. And we see that more and more clients and more vendors are interesting and saying, okay, finally the time to EHR to EDC arrive. Now, how quick is going to be the main standard in clinical trial? This is a very, very hard answer to. This is a very, very hard question to answer. You know, when I started to work in clinical trials, it was a paper database. And then we transitioned and then we started with electronic database. And people said it will take you years to do that. And very quickly, the transition from paper to EDC for electronic database was done very, very quickly. I believe that in 2 to 3 years, it will look insane that people sat with those screens and copy data from one screen to another. And then other people came and verified that what they captured was correctly. I think that the young generation are pushing for innovation. And people are not willing to sit and copy data. It's like maybe in the 60s of the 20th century, it was acceptable. In 2024, no one is willing to go to work and copy data from one screen to another.
Right, because we're not even talking about new technology here. We're not talking about an AI breakthrough. We're talking about something that we should have been able to do almost all along, right? Since we put EHRs in place in the first place.
So here I want to maybe to add another level of the complexity, because the EHR market, especially when you look about the global EHR, it's like a Babylon tower, because think about the EHRs in Israel, EHR in Spain, EHR in Italy, in Portugal, and the EHR in the United States. Sometimes the language is different. Even when you think, okay, let's say maybe it's in English. But in some countries, they write hemoglobin in one way. In other countries, they write hemoglobin in a different way. And on the other side, there is different structure for every study. In every study, we collect different data in a different intervals. So over here, we had to develop our own AI in order to do that. But what I do agree with what you said is that now that we have many AI technologies, this is when it's feasible. So it's not just the regulations that we spoke previously. It's also that we have a lot of advanced technologies with AI, with LLM. There is a lot of other things that made this feasible right now. And Unolink already entered and incorporated this technology in our system.
Got it. Yeah. So it's not just one-to-one, this academic medical center is, sending all of its information into this trial, but the trials might have multiple sites. The sites might be in multiple countries, and your system has to also be able to handle all that sort of thing. Interoperability, right?
Yeah, we just had a few days ago, we had a discussion with a huge network in Japan. They know that we're already very strong in Europe and in the United States and in Israel. They said, 1 minute, are you going to keep Japan left behind? Let's see how you can stream data from Japanese medical center. So we told them, okay, bring us, let's learn. To be honest, I never thought about Japan because it looks to me to like behind the horizon sometime. And then it was super interesting, and this about my ignorance, that I didn't learn enough about the Japanese EHR. But when we started to have the discussion with them, we said, okay, this is achievable mission. All the time we started with the pilots in Israel. And you said, first of all, it's the lead the ocean between the Israeli sites and the American sites. And then we said, let's do it also with the Italian and with the Spanish and with the Portugal sites. And now we said, okay, let's go to the other side. There is no reason that there will be a gap or there will be an ocean between the Japanese side and the American side. All the data should be streamed on the same day, and everything should be available to the sponsor on the same day. And in this way, you can do clinical trial wherever you want.
So let's step back a little bit, looking more broadly at sort of how the clinical trials are evolving, especially around data and data management. Are there other trends that you're seeing or other problems that on the horizon that you think we need to be solving for? I mean, you know, just given your kind of your position here and your expertise, what else should folks be thinking about?
You know, I love this question because sometimes I'm asking my team, I'm telling them, okay, EHR to EDC, so what? Okay, I get it. I get that you solve the EHR to EDC, copying data from one stream to another. Can we solve a bigger problem? Can be part of a bigger problem? At the end of the day, you know, in the United States, and by the way, it's almost the same all over the world, 95% of the Americans do not have access for clinic, for investigational product because it's done only in the big institution. So basically, clinical trials as a treatment option, it's not an option. But if I can, when I can do electronic wiring, and if I can send money to anywhere in the world, I can buy stuff from a small village in India or in China, and I can do business wherever I want. So if I can stream data from the EHR, even from a small clinic in Montana, so maybe they can participate in the clinical trial as well. Maybe in order to get an investigational product, I don't need to leave my house and go to 8 months and live next to the big institution. And this is what you ask about the big picture. So during the COVID, there have been a lot of companies developed and been established based on get the treatment care without approaching, without getting to the medical center. So I think this is where we need to be. We need to take the 25% of the population, of the American population and their population in the world, and give them the option to participate in clinical trials, even though they do not live in the big cities. I think this is where we need to be. And this is a patient-centric approach.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I hear that a lot about clinical trials, both because, like, you know, well, for a bunch of reasons, right? One is that for the benefit of the trials themselves, you want them to have a wider variety of patients in them. I mean, there's bias is built into only having access to these academic medical center populations. But also, as you say, you know, the opportunity to be in a clinical trial is itself healthcare, right? I mean, that these are the newest innovative treatments. It would be good for access to them to be equitable.
And this is like a win-win situation. The win situation for the pharma, which is super important because they pay for the clinical trial and we need to be very honest about it, is because they want to enroll as fast as they can. Right now, they have the population or the options of patients are mainly for the big institution. And only 5% of the population. Let's unlock the initial 25% of the population. The pharma will be able to complete the recruitment of participants, of patients, to the clinical trial faster. From the other end, patients that want to get free investigational product can get it regardless of the economic situation, regardless of where they live. And we will have more patients can get investigational product, more product can be brought to market quicker. And this is like a win-win situation. Everyone win.
Awesome. We're coming up towards the end of our time. Is there anything else you want to talk about? We have some time if we need it.
Yeah, so I think all the time we need to ask ourselves, okay, what is the next step? Okay. Guys, we can stream data. Everyone knows that we will, at some point, people will stop copying data from one screen to another. What is the next big thing that we need to solve? And I think when we speak about innovation, especially in clinical trial, because at the end of the day, we are in the business of saving life. And efficiency saves life. The question that we need to ask ourselves all the time, what is the next big mission that we need to solve? And there is a lot of things. We spoke about what's happening in countries that do not have electronic health record. How can we bring electronic health record to these places? How we can bring clinical trials out to these countries, out to these areas? How we can make innovation arrives to any individual in the world? And I think this is going to be the biggest mission. And I truly believe that, you know, internet a few years ago, you said, okay, it's just in the big cities. And then it was also in the small cities. And then it was in the rural areas. And now you can find villages that they don't have clean water, but they still have, but they have internet connection. So, and the reason I'm saying it, that I truly believe that technology is the key to solve one much, much bigger problem.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a great note to end on. Thank you so much, Ido. I really appreciate your time today. And it's very cool what you're doing. So I hope folks who didn't know about this have learned something and we'll check you guys out.
Okay, thank you very much, Jonah. I'm always very happy to speak about clinical trial, and more than that, happy to speak about innovation.
That concludes this episode of the Pharma Forum podcast. You can find more information about this episode, including a download link and information about other installments in the series, at pharmaforum.com/podcast. The Pharma Forum podcast is also available on iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, and Podme, where you can find and subscribe by searching for Pharma Forum. And don't forget to visit our website, where you can sign up for daily news and analysis bulletins, and to follow us on Twitter at Pharma Forum. Thanks for listening.